Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:27 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is December 6th, and I thought it would be appropriate to start off today looking at Japan because it was down about 2% and coming back towards this 22,000 point level. And it did frightfully well between September and early November, so we are due some consolidation, and we're certainly getting some consolidation. The yen was a little bit firmer in here today, so that has acted as a little bit of a headwind for the index, but it was off, or at least the dollar was off its low in here today, and it's still ranging below this 115 level, and it really does need to sustain a move above it. When we cast our eyes towards the second section index, it continues to consolidate below this 7,000 level, and as I've mentioned on a number of previous occasions, it's paused at 5, it's paused at 6, and now it's pausing at 7,000. So this is one of its broad consistency characteristics, but it does need to sustain a move above it to suggest that investors are willing to pay ever higher prices for Japanese shares. When we think about whether we are in fact moving back into an inflationary environment fueled by the reaction against the status quo and people simply demanding higher wages, then the Japanese banking index is, I think, really quite interesting. Because when we look at it on the weekly basis, someone who's only looking at this chart would be very tempted to conclude that that's a very big head and shoulders pattern between 2013 and 2017. But that would be to ignore the longer term. This is why looking at long-term charts for perspective is so important. Because when we look at it on a much longer term basis, well, then we get really quite different information. And when we look at it on this basis, we can see that there was a substantial rally in 2003 through to 2006. Then the price collapsed, and it went from 500 to 100. Then it doubled, and we've been ranging below 200 since it was really the end of 2013. This represents the first step above the base, and if we could have a sustained move above 200, it would suggest that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. We've already seen that the Nikkei has broken up. The second section has been outperforming for a substantial period of time. And then we have the topics, which is just testing the upper side of an awfully long range. But if we are in fact moving back into an inflationary outlook for the global economy, there is probably no market is going to benefit more than Japan, and most particularly the banks. We can already see, for example, that when we look at Wall Street, that with the outlook for interest rates beginning to rise, that banks are returning to outperformance, and that higher interest rates have a transformative effect on bank margins. Well, there is no reason to believe that that wouldn't also be the case for Japan, and most particularly because they haven't been doing anything for such a long time, and because they've had a zero interest rate policy for what must feel like forever for those banks. So this is becoming an increasingly interesting area. Well, if we stick with Asia and look at Hong Kong, the Hang Seng is pulling back from the 30,000 area and unwinding its short-term overbought condition relative to the trend mean. Well, Tencent is now the second largest holding on the index at about 9%. It accelerated to get to that peak up there around 440 Hong Kong dollars, and it was down another 10 in here today, and it is rapidly unwinding that short-term overbought condition. Now, that was the type 1 ending. We're getting a massive reaction against the prevailing trend. There's certainly some profit-taking going on. The big question is, at what point is it going to find support? It has found support in the region of the trend mean previously, so there will certainly be some people looking at it finding support somewhere within the next $50. But then the big question is, how much ranging are we going to have subsequently? There was an article today where someone who has made 6,000% out of Tencent was saying that they expect it to double. But the question is whether it is going to double from that peak at 440, or whether the doubling will happen from a much more modest level. And that is, I think, symptomatic of someone who has done very well and has a reticence about exiting a position. What is interesting, though, is that when we look at the wider Chinese technology sector, that some of these shares are beginning to find support, that Alibaba has unwound most of its overbought condition, and of course it had not accelerated to nearly the same extent that Tencent had. JD.com is also back in the region of the trend mean and beginning to find support, and NetEase, which had been among the strongest performers, is prone to these jerky moves on the upside and also finds support in the region of the trend mean, and it is now also consolidating. So when then we look for real evidence of acceleration, that TAL Education is perhaps an example of what we might expect from Tencent, where we get a very, very sharp reaction, but that it does begin to demonstrate at least short-term support in the region of the trend mean. Now, when we look at what's been going on in Europe, news flow in the UK continues to be dominated by what's happening in terms of the Brexit negotiations, and not least because the hard Brexiteers have torpedoed the I guess the agreement that was on the table. Every time we've seen enthusiasm about the UK remaining reasonably close to the EU, the pound has tended to rally. Every time the Brexiteers have returned to the ascendancy, the pound has deteriorated. But we can see that over the last year, that optimism has been improving, and the pound has been doing better. It has held this progression of higher reaction lows, and the most recent of those is around the 130 level. The big question, of course, is going to remain whether whether in fact the UK is going to sign some form of agreement within the next few days. It's a self-imposed deadline, and obviously they want to move on to trade negotiations on January 1st, but if it goes beyond that, then there will simply be a tighter schedule for trade negotiations, and potentially that those negotiations would go on even longer, with the potential for a transition agreement to be extended. And that is certainly a potential outcome. But personally, I think that when we look at the pound, it is more interesting to look at it against the euro, because it is right in the region of the trend mean. It's at the lower side of a 3-month range. It is beginning to find some, or at least it's beginning to encounter some resistance in this area. Now, the big question is whether it is whether the euro is going to continue to find support in this area. If it breaks down, well, then that would begin to signal that we're moving back into a demand-dominated environment for the pound, and considering just how much the euro has advanced relative to the pound, then it would have to, we would have to see significant additional bad news in order to suggest that the pound would weaken significantly against the euro from the current level. And interestingly, the FTSE was among the only indices in Europe today that was in positive territory. It's right in the region of the trend mean. The index has been range-bound for most of this year, and it will need to hold this area if potential for additional upside is to be given the benefit of the doubt. But that's really a short-term consideration. When we look at it over the much longer term, the 7,000 level is more important. That as long as it is holding that 7,000 area, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside, because that represents the upper side of what is really a very long-term range. If we then look at the continent, then the DAX index is back in the region of 13,000 and is beginning to steady from this area. but it hasn't quite unwound its overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and that would suggest that we are in for some additional ranging. I think the big question out there right now is what's going to happen with Wall Street, because Wall Street has been by far the leading stock market. It has been among the best performers. It has been a leader, and the U.S. economy was first in and indeed first out of the credit crisis recession. So it is likely to lead the global economy in terms of when the timing of the next recession hits. What is very clear from the consistency of the trend over the last year is that the S&P 500 has not pulled back by more than 80 points in more than a year. And anyone who is looking for evidence of top formation development will at least need to see a reaction of more than 80 points. And considering that the peak on the 4th was at 2,665, it could have a reaction of double what it's already done and still not be pulling back by more than 80 points. So what that suggests is that the 2580 level is likely to represent an area of potential support, and most probably 2600, which would hold the staircase progression of ranges one above another. And when we think about all those articles that we're seeing about risk parity and quantitative strategies, but most particularly about passive investing in ETFs and the fact that Vanguard and BlackRock now have approximately $11 trillion under management, what that suggests is that, and I think that the only conclusion that we can draw when we look at what the fundamentals are of those strategies, that there is an adoption of momentum strategies is being adopted on a wholesale basis. If one is betting only on the index, then an index is dominated by its largest shares. The larger those shares become, the greater the influence they have on the index, and the greater the momentum that they have will have an influence on the index. By the same token, the greatest impact that any declining share has on the index is when it begins to decline. The more the share declines, the less impact that it has. So there's a diminishing return in terms of the influence that it has on the index because the market cap is declining. So that ensures that a momentum strategy buying the index is technically the equivalent of adopting a momentum strategy, regardless of what other rationale one might be using, that by simply buying the index you are approximating a momentum strategy. And momentum strategies are earnings agnostic. So there are a lot of people talking about the cyclically adjusted PE, and that is certainly important, but with the increasingly wide adoption of earnings agnostic strategies, there's nobody listening. And what that also suggests is that we are moving into the third psychological perception stage. And what that also means is that it doesn't always happen, but it happens enough that it's important to recognize is that these kinds of advances are concluded by accelerations. And not simply accelerations in individual shares, but accelerations by the indices that they're constituents of. And when we look at the consistency of the very large shares, like Google or Amazon or Facebook, then they're still broadly consistent. That Google has a history of bouncing from big psychological levels, and $1,000 is one of those, and it has bounced in here this week. So it's not pulling back in a very dynamic manner, like we see, for example, with Tencent. Amazon is susceptible to some additional consolidation, but each of these ranges has tended to be one above another. So there is the potential that Amazon could simply go sideways. But it is among the shares that has some of the clearest evidence of acceleration. And Microsoft is another. It really did race to get up to the peak in late October, and it has been very steady above the $80 level since. Then when we look at, for example, Facebook, it has a history of finding support in the region of the trend mean, and it has bounced in here this week from above it. So as long as these very large shares are still trending in a reasonably consistent manner, then we can conclude that the pullback that we're seeing on Wall Street is nothing more than a consolidation. And as long as that remains the case, then the likelihood is that we're being set up for a buying opportunity. I'm personally still short the Dow Jones, and it's acting as a hedge against the pullback that we're getting on the Nikkei. And I'll be just keeping a close eye on both those positions in terms of my personal trading. When we look at the gold price, it is right in the region of the lower side of its range, and it has been pulling back in a reasonably dynamic manner over the last week or two. So it's been very inert for the last 2 months, and that's uncharacteristic. We're right in the region of a potential area of support, so this is about where it should be finding it. Now, silver is high beta gold. It has been pulling back, and it is closing out today just below $16. It's been down on consecutive days, and it's been down in a reasonably dynamic manner, giving up a dollar in value over the last 6 or 7 sessions. It does need a clear upward dynamic to confirm that we're returning to a demand-dominated environment. And platinum is a pretty similar story. It's at the right. It's right at the lower side of its range, and it has been down in a dynamic fashion over the last 4 sessions. So this is about where we've seen support coming back previously, and it's all usually done it in a dynamic manner. So the next few days are going to be quite telling in terms of what's happening in the precious metals. And copper prices, having pulled back really quite sharply yesterday, were steady in here today. And there's a big debate going on in the nickel market, because what people are looking at in terms of nickel is whether this index, or excuse me, this contract is going to be split in two. That the specifications for what can be delivered for the battery sector are so much more exacting than for the stainless steel sector that it may necessitate that the nickel contract is split into two separate contracts. Well, nickel sulfide would then represent a supply and elasticity meets rising demand market, and we could see it trending higher. Any news supporting the battery sector is likely to be positive for nickel, and it is right now in the region of the trend mean, so this is an area where it should begin to find some support. And when we look at the bond markets, the 2-year yield has been surging higher over the last 3 months, and it has paused a little bit, but certainly this remains a momentum market, and it continues to extend this advance. And a sustained move really below the trend mean would be required to even begin to question that we're not back in a demand-dominated environment. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.